Good to see everybody here this morning. It is good. Hopefully your week has been great. If it hasn't, today's a new day. Today's a new day, and it's going to be good. And I'm excited that we are gathered here right now to praise and worship and lift God on high and dig into His Word. It's going to be good. I'll just tell you right off the bat that I've been a little stressed about the preaching for this morning, but it's going to be good. I need to hear it, and I hope you do too. In that, welcome to Beecher Island, where we are an independent, non-denominational, Jesus-loving, Bible-preaching church. We stand in His truth, and this Word is what we go by, and we let it be what leads us. But I tell you right now, we fall short in it, I fall short in it, and when I fall short, I encourage you to tell me, hey, let's do a little study. Well, let's talk about God's Word. Let's stay in His truth. And so that's who we are here at Beecher Island. A couple of announcements before we get going, though. March 31st is Resurrection Sunday. Or as the rest of the world calls it, Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday is March 31st, and we are going to gather at Kitzmiller Hall in Ray with six other churches. And do an awesome Resurrection Sunday service. If you were not part of it last year, you missed it and you missed out, but join this year. It'll be good. But I'm going to tell you, starts at 10:30, be there at 10 to get a seat because it holds like, I don't know, 534 and we had 538. I don't know what it was. There was some standing room in there so make sure you come, make sure you be a part of it. But also, if you would like to be a part of the praise and worship of that morning, talk with Michaela. Perfect. Okay. So, January 31st. Here's the second part of that. Is I already know you're coming. That's not an option, just so you know. But in that, I want you to be praying for an individual or a family that doesn't maybe go to church, that maybe doesn't know Christ, but it's local. I want you to be specifically praying for them. And then we're going to have some invitation cards next Sunday that I want you to take, and I want you to go and invite that person or family to come on March 31st to Resurrection Sunday. And then in that, I want you to give them that card for a reminder. It's not the invitation. The invitation is you saying, I'm going to save a seat for you. And that card is a reminder. So I want you to be praying for an individual or family that you're going to go and talk to, that you're going to go invite. Go pick them up if you need to. Bring them to Resurrection Sunday. So I want to encourage you in that. And youth group tonight. If you're not already part of youth group, if you have kids that are in the youth group and you're not part of it, youth group is going to be right here, 6:30. Six. I knew I was going to mess it up. 6 o'clock. Bring your youth right here, 8th grade to 12th grade. So, be a part of that. All right. Open your Bibles with me. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. While you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank You so much for Your love. We thank You that it's in You that we have life. We thank You that it's in You, Jesus, that we can stand in. That we can know that we have life. We can know that we have forgiveness. We can know that we are loved and we are a friend. And that we have a personal relationship with our Savior. And I thank You for that. And Lord, I just pray this morning that our hearts are open to Your teaching and that we understand the teaching that's in James 2 here. That we don't take it out of context, but we leave it in the context of all. Starting in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Quite a teaching that we're going to dig into this morning. And I will tell you that this right here has created religions to go down a path that is not healthy. We have to make sure that when we read God's Word, that we keep it in context of the whole Bible, of all the New Testament. And we can't just take a part of the Bible and say, well, that's what I'm going to live my life by. Or that's my religion. We have to stand in the whole Bible. That's why I say all the time, three verses to back up every scripture in which you're going to quote. You better have three verses to back up what you're going to say that it is, and take those three scriptures and make sure that you read 20 verses before and 20 verses after to make sure that you're keeping it in context. Because if we read James 2 and you just read it, you better get to work. A lot of work. And we'll still fail if that's where we aim. Because I want to go over to Ephesians 2. Because we got to start there. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says for this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. James said, can faith save you? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Saved by grace through faith, not of works. So we got to make sure that we understand James and what James is saying by all this work stuff. But then he throws Abraham in there. Well, what's Abraham got to do with it? So let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and let's look at what Abraham did with Isaac. So we're gonna read some Old Testament this morning, which is good. Genesis chapter 22. It said, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. I want you to understand that God is now talking to Abraham. This is what's taking place. He says, here I am. Abraham answers him. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Let's talk about this for a minute. Number one, Abraham's faith in God has got him right here, right now. Abraham's trust, let's put the word trust in instead of faith. Abraham's trust in God has him listening to God, number one. Has his ears open to listen to God, to follow. And that's exactly what he's doing. And now God has said, this is what I want you to do. And Abraham says, yes, God. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, which we read. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. God showed him where he needed to go. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. If James is saying that Abraham is working, that this is a work, Abraham is calling it a worship. I want you to get that. He's calling it a worship. He says, and we will come back. And he says, and we. He trusts God so much that he's going to take his son to a sacrifice, but he said, we will come back. I want you to get that. That's a whole other sermon in itself. But, so Abraham took the wood off of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham knew what he was doing. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. I want you to picture this in your mind. Don't let it just be a story, but let it be an account. Picture Abraham doing this with Isaac. And my guess is it was a little bit of a battle. I bet it was a little bit of a struggle that was going on there, and he's saying, I have to abide by what God is calling me to do. And it has been so obvious, and I don't care what my flesh says, but I'm going to care about what God has called me to do, and I'm going to walk in that. And he bound his son and lays him on the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. I want you to know that the Lord will provide. But I want you to understand the work in which James is referring to here. The work is that Abraham had faith in God. He had trust in him. And he said, God, whatever you call me to do, whatever your will is, I will follow. I will do. He wasn't just going about a bunch of work. He wasn't just trying to fulfill a desire to just work a lot, to do for God. No, he trusted. He had faith. And he said, God, whatever you have for me, I will do. And when God said, Abraham, this is what I need. This is what I want you to do. Abraham said, yes, Lord. I will follow. I will follow. I want to make sure that we're doing the same thing in that work, that we are listening, that we're trusting. And the work in which we do abides by the Scriptures. You see, go with me to John 6:25. John 6:25. John 6:25-29. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He had just fed a mass of people. And then we start here in 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." And then listen, then they said to Him, "What shall we do? What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" They're laying out the question. What works are we to do then? And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God." I want you to hear this. "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He sent." That you believe in Jesus Christ. That you believe that He is the Messiah. That He came to this earth, the virgin birth, that He lived, that He showed us how to be, and then He went to the cross, and He died, and He went to a grave, and He arose, and He ascended to heaven. That is the work that we're called to do. To believe, to trust that Jesus is the Christ. Turn over with me to John chapter 6, same chapter, verse 40. You say, "Well, that's the work, but what's the will of God in my life?" "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me." This is the will of God. This is the will of God, that you believe, that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Go to John 14. John 14, verse 12. Getting into a little more works here. Good works. John 14, verse 12. "Most assuredly," this is Jesus talking, "most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." That's you. You who believe. "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Amen, amen. You see, when Jesus went to the Father, he also gave us a promise. He gave us a promise to send the Holy Spirit when he departs. And that's exactly what he did. He sent the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, "Greater works you will do because I go to the Father." Church, Christ is the only one working. I want you to understand that this morning. Christ is the only one working. We are to deny ourselves, to deny our flesh, and ask for help. His help. God will then will us to do His work. He will will us to be in His will. And it will be pleasing and it will be according to God. But I want us to understand this. You see, there is the work of God, and that is to believe in Jesus. But when we believe in Jesus, He says to follow me. He says to follow. He told every one of His disciples, follow me. My question to you this morning is not only do you believe, but are you following? Because you see, that's where action comes in. And if we read James to say, by your faith, I'll see your actions. I'll see Christ in you. I'll see that you really do follow. You see, in John 13:35, Jesus tells His disciples that the world will know you. The world will know me by your love. My question to you this morning is, are you walking in that love? Are you walking in that love so that the light of Jesus just shines all around you? Because you see, the work is already done. The work is Jesus. He's taking care of it all. But are we in the journey? Are we walking with Him? Are we truly in a relationship? And that's what James is trying to say. Are you just letting it be words, or are you walking it out? Are you loving? But wait a minute, how do I get to that kind of love? You let God love you first. Church, are you letting God love you with all the love that He has for you? Are you letting God in? Are you letting His love pour into you so that you can go in love like He calls us to love? And in that kind of love, it's called action. Called living out your faith. You see, when we read James, we can get so tied up and I should be doing this, I should be doing that. I'm not doing enough for the church. I'm not doing enough in my community to shine God's light. Just be still and let God love you and listen, just as Abraham did, to God's prompting. To go and do, to love, to pour out. Because we can sure work and do to do, and we can become tired and weary and wore out. Jesus has already done all the work. He's just saying, come believe in me. Allow me to love you. Allow yourself to have a relationship with me. And in that, we're going to love some people. We're going to love some people. So today, I want to challenge you to the question that you need to answer between you and God. Are you allowing Him to love you with all the love He has? Because when you do that, you will do the work of Jesus. You'll be in the will of the Father. And you'll get to see some pretty amazing things, like a ram stuck in the weeds. to come be a sacrifice. When we truly look at what Abraham did, it's pretty amazing. Do we have the trust in our God to journey where He tells us, this is where I want you? Are you letting Him love you? Church, I'm going to invite the praise team to come back up. It doesn't really matter if we don't start first with Christ. If you don't believe this morning, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, then we need to start there. And so this morning, if you don't believe that, I want to encourage you to stand in that for just a minute. And ask yourself, what is stopping me from giving Jesus my whole life? What's stopping me from allowing Him to be my Savior? And today, if you have not done that, today is the day before you go out these doors. I want to encourage you to allow Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. To speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. He says, you will be saved. And the journey begins. The journey begins to allow God to love you more than you can fathom. And in that, it doesn't matter what struggles this world brings at you. You can look to Him and say, I know you're loving me. I know you're loving me. And I need your help. And He'll journey with you through whatever trial and struggle you have. That's the work. That's the work, to walk in Him and put your trust in Him. And today, are you letting Him love you? Let's go to Him in prayer. Father God, I pray that our hearts are open to Your love. I mean the abundant agape love that You have for us. The love that we can't fathom, but we know You have, that You pour out to each one of us. And Lord, I pray that we allow that love to pour into us. And that we understand that You love us, that You want a personal relationship with us, that You are here with us. We don't need to pray that You walk with us, because You are already here. My prayer, Father, is that we allow You to be in us. And all the love that You have for us be in us. So that there is no stopping that love from coming back out. To love on others. In the way in which You love us. I pray that we allow Your work to be done, not ours. Your work and Your will. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning that's struggling, that I just lift them up to You, Father. If they're struggling in sin, struggling in letting You love them, struggling in thoughts, struggling in whatever it may be, addictions or just a sin that's got them trapped or whatever it be, Father, I lift them up to You and I pray that their heart opens to You and allows Your love to overwhelm them. God, I thank You that that's the God You are. And I pray that if anybody's coming to You this morning, that it just be a glorious day. That we know it is in heaven, but let it be a glorious day right here. And Lord, I pray that that person reaches out to one of the elders, to me, to just talk through that. God, thank You. Thank You. I pray this week and for the rest of our lives, we allow Your love to overwhelm us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.